All right, it is the 12th. Yeah, welcome to Office Hours with Prime. My name is Prime. Sorry, I got distracted there because I set up a automation on Google Home to turn on my living room lights about 4 p.m. because I'll continually forget, and about 4 p.m. you start needing lights. So they just like turned on the moment Office Hours hit. It was like, bling, your lights turned on. And I'm like, you listening, lights? Like, what's going on? Well, there we go. Anyway, welcome to Office Hours. This is where I answer questions that you guys might have. Please drop them in the Office Hours text chat thread, and I'll get to them in order that they arrive. I'm just going to ping Office Hours again, and then we'll go ahead and get started with any questions. So Jack asks, they first of all say party time. It's not a party. It's Office Hours. Very serious. Office Hours. You got to, like, you know, put on your tweed jacket, get some coffee, and sit in the big, professor hallway thing. Yes. Anyway, and then asks, how have you been? I am tired and itchy, and I need to go grocery shopping, but I'm not going grocery shopping until this is over. Yes, that's how I am. That's the only question we have so far, so until we have additional questions, I'm going to sit here in unimaginable silence, so make sure you get some questions sorted. Grey Fox insists that Prime needs more British things, like bad weather and milk and tea, says Jack's, Jack even. I have lots of British things. I have a cup of tea next to me. It was last night's tea, so it's empty, but you know. Svekin asks, what would be the best way to play a sound only when, say, a tap is being rotated and only when it's being rotated? Do remember that a joint and also a slider, they both act as actually grabbables. They do in programming what's called extending from a grabbable. So all of the grabbable nodes work with joints and sliders. So if you want to get an event when someone starts grabbing a joint, you use ungrabbable grab and ungrabbable released, I think it is, when they stop grabbing a joint. Then based on that, you can do some logic to take a look at like how fast it's being rotated or something like that to play a sound. In fact, if you take a look in my, this is like a random shout out, take a look in my public folder, go to memes. My MOC entry there hasn't been submitted yet, is right there at the bottom of the memes folder. It looks like a DJ deck. It's called the, forget what like Windmill called it. It's like they put it on Twitter like a long, long time ago. I can't find it. Anyway, it's in the public folder there. It's like a DJ deck, but it's like a kid's version of that. It's memey. Anyway, that has some logic on it, which enables you to do the sort of traditional DJ scratching stuff. But that is on a joint because you have to spin the disc around to do sort of, you know, DJ disc scratching. And so take a look at that logic and how we are driving the playback of that disc. That comes from an old object, which I had in my inventory, which is just like a regular cylinder that you can kind of scratch again like a DJ, which has a the bass fart sound effect on it. So I just stole that logic from there. And then you can, you know, take a look at that. It uses drive playback. By using drive playback, you can work out, like, you know, if it's rotating, go to this speed. If you're rotating it, like, faster, maybe speed it up a little bit or stuff like that. I think I also updated it so that if the sound isn't playing, the audio output turns off, which is always good. When you aren't using Play One Shot, if the sound isn't playing, you should turn the audio output off wherever possible. Jack says, do you drink tea or milk? No, milk does not belong in tea. There's like a... Where are we? I'll try and find this. I can't find it, but it's one of those like sketch channels where they show someone making tea and then they like get all aggressive because they're doing it wrong. I can't find the video. Anyway, the point being is, like, tea should be, like, you should be able to taste it. The amount of times in the UK particularly where I get tea, which is basically just milk, is really annoying. It's really, really annoying. Like, tea needs to brew. Traditional sort of breakfast regular tea that you'd get if, you know, you said tea to a British person, that doesn't need to brew for like as long as you think it does. Like, it doesn't need a full 3 minutes, but it does need some time. Like, don't just show the tea bag to the water. You gotta like let it brew. Green teas and stuff like that I drink, 3 minutes. I have like a Google Home routine. Tea time.
All right, 3 minutes starting now.
So that's what my phone does when I say tea time to it, because it knows 3 minutes is right for tea. Anyway, moving on to actual NEOS questions rather than T questions. Jack says, are there plans for improving the undo system in general? Yes. So the problem with the undo system is, like, it's opt-in. So every single technical system has to opt into it. So that's why you'll see that certain operations don't have undos or do have undos. I'm going to say the word do a lot. So if you get, like, giggly when I say the word do-do, then you're in for a ride. So when something needs to be undoed... It needs to register with the undo system, and not everything does register with the undo system, so it can't be undone. Additionally, some activities are just incompatible with the undo system. So we are investigating that whenever we can. As a reminder, you can also use the undo nodes yourself to make your tool undo compatible. The first time I did that was a line tip. I believe that's still in my public folder under tools. It just creates lines. That is full undo compatible, and it was a lot of effort. Like, the tool worked, and then I had to add undo capability to it, and it took like about as long as making the tool to then add undo capabilities to it. So do keep that in mind. If you want that in your tools, maybe start building there. Other things like limiting the amount of undo steps, maybe increasing the amount of undo steps, doing sort of like undo all would be good for those times where, you know, something wrong just happens. Like, you know, whoops, I made the floor grabbable and then someone grabbed it and turned it upside down. It'd just be like, all right, stop, undo everything. Would be also a good feature. Make sure you have GitHub issues in for any advancements to the undo system that you'd like. DigimByte says, isn't just hot chocolate just bean tea? Hot chocolate's a little bit different because it usually has a lot more ingredients. So the thing with like coffee, or like proper coffee, is it's just the ground up bean. And the thing with tea is it's just sort of the leaf. And then depending on what type of leaf it is, it's ground up leaf or, you know, full leaf tea. Always go for full leaf tea. I'll link my place where I get tea from in a moment. Hot chocolate, though, is like a bunch of stuff. Usually hot chocolate powder includes like cocoa, sugar, and powdered milk, so that you just have to pour hot water into it. So it's complicated. It's almost like hot chocolate is a soup because there's more ingredients. Boba tea is gross. I'll tell you why it's gross, and that's because I frequently end up with a clogged straw, and then I have to suck harder. And then, like the tapioca balls in boba tea, then like shotgun into the back of my throat and being gross for just a second. It feels like throwing up in reverse. And I don't know. No, I don't want that. Let's move on to the next question. DigimByte also asks, is NeosVR still using crypto and is it sorted with the owners? Okay, so for that one, you can read the announcements channel for any updates. Before you say there are no updates available, I want you to read the announcements channel again, because that's the only updates that we have for that matter. Nothing has changed in that regard. If something does change, it'll be in the announcements channel before it is here. So before you ask any other team member, including Mr. Fruxius, the announcements channel is where you want to go. Like, I know people just go around Neos and they're like, I'm going to find a team member and ask them the Carol questions. The answer is the same. Nothing has changed. Read the announcements channel. So Jack has clarified that they want the ability to prevent stuff from making undos in certain situations. Were you the person who was asking about doing that for like gameplay related matters? Because, yeah, that was an interesting one. Like, basically, like, you know, if it's like a, I don't know, sacrifice the magic gem you've just got from the water temple to the god to, you know, win the game. And then you just, like, you give it to the water god. The god goes, yay! And then an animation plays. And then you just, like, undo. And then you've got the, like, crystal bag. It's kind of like, whoops, time to cheat. You know, I can imagine there being, like, a shop interface where you're like, I made this really cool thing. I want to sell it to a shopkeeper. Put it on the shopkeeper's table. Undo. I've got another one. Great. Yeah. So certainly something we need to look at. So to go make sure that there's a GitHub issue for it. I do like that people are thinking about games more. Seems to happen only during MMC. Remember that there are 12 months in the year. For those entirety of the 12 months, you can make games in Neos. I love seeing them. So I'm going to play as many of those games that come out in the MMC, which is it's going to be out soon. Like 8 days or something like that. Moving forwards, Digim says, did Neos VR know Neo crypto already existed? That's nothing to do with Neos. There are many cryptocurrencies that use the sort of futuristic words in their naming. Neos is also, I believe, a medical device manufacturer or something like that. It's a bit like I used to work for the streaming site Mixer. Mixer used to be called Beam, and we had to change its name because we couldn't actually get a global trademark on Beam. One of the reasons behind that is that there was a Beam sort of telepresence robot where you could like remotely steer a robot around an office, and there was also a vacuum cleaner. It was called like a Beam vacuum cleaner or something like that. So we couldn't get the global trademark on that, so it was very interesting. It's nothing to do with us, though. So like, I don't... like, know enough about crypto, but I know that you can't just randomly combine coins, particularly if they're not related. It's like saying, like, yo, guys, let's take United States dollars and Canadian dollars and merge them together because they're both called dollars. Like, that's, like, as much sense as, like, that question you asked makes. It's just a naming thing. There's also Australian dollars as well. Like, should we combine Canadian, United States and Australian dollars together into like a global dollar? And before you ask, like, yeah, I know that's exactly what euros did, but like Europe is very weird. There's this thing called European Union, which makes stuff happen really fast in Europe, which the UK is no longer a part of. But that's a topic for another day when I turn into like a political commentator, which I'm not, so I don't care to comment on it. Digim asks, authentication via Steam support. I'm not a fan of logging in like it's 1995. Logging in with a username and password is actually sometimes the most secure operation when it comes to third parties holding your identity. As a good example here, think about all the times where you've logged into a website with Google. So you've gone to, I don't know, like just a random website. Common one I was seeing today because I was helping someone out with job applications is they could log into this like job application website with their Google account. Let's now imagine that Google goes bust or your Google account gets canceled for various reasons. You no longer can actually log into that account because you logged in with Google, because you handed your authentication to a third party. So I don't like the implication that logging in with your own username and password is old or outdated, hence the comment about 1995. However, we will be looking at additional authentication options in the future and additionally looking at increasing that Remember Me, because right now Remember Me is just a 7-day rolling window. We could maybe make that a 30-day rolling window or a forever rolling window, depending on what we're doing. Jack says, no, they're using sliders for custom directional inputs, basically managing the position of myself, but the ability to undo, transform brings a lot of complexity and having to... Yeah, it's like the same problem. You want to prevent the undo, but for a completely different reason. Drafty, almost called you Drafty, I apologize, says, any improvement on the deselect all button, so only deselects your selection instead of deselecting everything, including other people's selection? The problem with that one is actually like a data model thing. It's similar to the logics interface problem, but a little bit different. So gizmos, which are the things that you deselect when you deselect all, those are generated on the host. They're not generated on the client. And so when you deselect all, we have no way currently to tell who owns what gizmo. So what would need to be happening, yeah, English is strange, for that to happen is that we change up the gizmo system. So one of two things happens. Either the gizmos register or, you know, shoulder tap each other to say, like, I was created by Drafty, I was created by Jack. And that way we'd be able to deselect everything correctly. Or we would have to change up the gizmos so that they're generated on the host, which then naturally would have that whole ownership thing. Not the host, the user. Because then the user would be like, I have generated a gizmo host. And the host would be like, oh, thank you for generating a gizmo. I now that you know that you own that. So both of those things are possible. They just require updates to how our data model operates. There are lots of tools. I like the sort of radial one, which will delete gizmos that are... within a certain radius of the person. That's good because it means like if you're working in a corner of the map, you can deselect just stuff that's like, you know, within like a meter or two of you, and it's usually the problem rather than like map wide. I have something which basically does the same as the material tip area mode, where I can turn a mode on the tool where I can just sort of wave a collider over a gizmo that I don't want. That's complicated to access. I know that a lot of people have got this like shake to deselect thing. I want to move over to my tool at some point, but I keep forgetting, so that's fine. Digim says, with the whole currency thing, it's more why not use an established coin rather than a new one? I have no idea what the motivations of the original ICO were. I'd know that it's too late to switch to another coin. Read announcements for information. I think we're done talking about coins and currencies and crypto. Jack asks for hardware 2FA. Yes, there is a doobly-doo for that. However, until we have that implemented in NEOS, did you know that you can store 2FA secrets on hardware security? What you do is you go download from your phone, you download Yubico Authenticator, and then what Yubico Authenticator requires is that you have to either plug in, or if you've got one of the NFC's Yubico things, you can put that on the back of the phone at the NFC chip, and that's the only way you can access your 2FA stuff. I'm moving like some of my 2FA to that because it protects you against sort of the whole phone thing. Most 2FA problems occur with, like, I got a new phone and I was careless when I got my new phone and I didn't move my 2FA over before I lost my old phone. We get a lot of that in support. So if you are getting a new phone, you move your 2FA first. You can also use services like Authy, where it will migrate your 2FA to your new phone. I question the security of that one, hence why I'm moving over to sort of YubiKey-related stuff. But then again, I've moved the problem. Instead of, like, have I lost my phone or I've got a new phone, it's like, have I lost the YubiKey? So you always have a backup one. And ideally, that backup one should be moved or stored off-site. Like, a safety deposit box at a bank would be the, like, sort of, like, paranoid way of doing it. Digim clarifies, with Auth, you still have access to an email, you can have an option to recover a password. Yeah, like, that means, like, there's, like, two options, right? You've linked your Steam account or you've linked your Google account. You can log in with that one for speed, but you can also log in with your password should you lose that Google connectivity. However, that kind of just moves the problem, right? Because what you're doing there is what you're really saying is it is easier to maintain a session on Google than it is to maintain a session on Neos or Steam than it is on Neos. And so what you're really, really saying there, if you look at the crux of it, is you're saying, I want it to be easier to maintain a session on Neos. And there are a bunch of ways to do that that aren't strictly just Steam login. Make sure to just refer to the announcement section because, like, you know, you said things that are completely rumors and I have no comment about those rumors. Just stick to the announcements. Like, I just hear rumors all the time and I'm like, none of these are, like, even remotely true. It's like, rumor. Prime has pink hair. There you go. There's a free rumor. Free rumor. Everyone's just like, I'm going to sit here and come up with random things that don't make any sense about this current situation. And I'm like, well, if you want the actual answer about what's actually happening, you could just read the announcements channel. People are like, no, I would rather have rumors. I'm like, okay, fine. I've got pink hair then. I should complete that meme now. I should just, like, turn up to a random convention with pink hair. Oh, here's a good question. Thank you so much, Shadow. Back on topic now. Shadow has 2FA set up, but they've never been asked for it when logging in. Is there supposed? Yes, there is. So once you have 2FA enabled, 2FA was originally added to Neos primarily for NCR-related transactions. So by default, it is not enabled for you to log in. You can read the 2FA page on the Neos wiki here, which will show you how to do it. But if you want to be asked for your 2FA when you log in, you can just send enable login 2FA to the Neos bot, and then it will require your 2FA doobly-doo when you log in. If you don't do that, it won't require it when you log in. It is weird. I wish it was just, like, more clear. But we are having a lot of difficulty with users not understanding the severity of 2FA. Like, you know when you set up 2FA, and it's like, save these backup codes. People just go like, this information isn't for me. Where's the, like, what is it? Yeah, there we go. This meme image, it's like, that side can't stop me because I can't read. Like, save your backup codes. We really do mean it. Technically speaking, if we were following the letter of the law about two-factor authentication and two-factor security and stuff like that, if you lost your backup codes and your 2FA device, we should not recover your account. Because you know, we have no current way to prove that you are there. So, if you do lose that, do drop in a ticket. We might be able to help you out. But, like, you need to follow the instructions. So if any of you here have not saved your backup codes, please go disable 2FA using your current 2FA device and then re-enable 2FA and save the new backup codes that we give you. Put them in a notepad document. Put that notepad document on a flash drive. Then throw that flash drive somewhere in your house where you know where it is. Moving forwards, away from 2FA, Drafi says, can we expect the ability to host headless servers without the need of Patreon in the future? That's an interesting thing because those are like beta features. It's weird when we are like a beta application that's early access that then also has beta features. So the Patreon thing is to reward people who support the product, who support Neos, with additional features that we are testing. And once headless servers are more standardized, better, smoother, easier to use, we will then move it out of the Patreon pool and it will become a global feature. Of course, right now, read the announcements channel, we aren't going to be changing anything about headless for the foreseeable future. When we do, you'll be seeing that in the announcements channel. Until then, yes, you'll unfortunately need the Patreon. Having said that, though, the only thing that requires you to access the Patreon is that headless key. So you can go ahead and get that headless Patreon-y doodad and get that headless key and do with it whatever you would like. The Bumble, I think I'm reading that correctly with the numbers there. Bouncing says, asks, bouncing back to the game, I've been trying to work on a game on NES and still new to NES. I saw the same issue where users can duplicate stuff. So my workaround so far has been to make a unique hash to an object. And if it finds the world again, auto deletes it. So the permeate option will be awesome. There are a couple of tagging components which prevent the duplicate button. So, you know, the context menu that says duplicate, there is a way to prevent that. And there's also a way to prevent it from being deleted. Those, of course, don't work if someone's got an inspector or if they've got builder access, because they could just duplicate it or delete it using the inspector, which will bypass those checks. But if they're in a game map where you haven't given them builder permission and the only way that they can duplicate it is by using the context menu, then you can block that. I have a video on my channel called Useful Tagging Components. I believe Froppy is probably rushing to YouTube to get it right now. If you won't, I'm sorry, Froppy, but I'm just like preempting you. Like, that's usually what happens. Either way, I'll grab it in a few minutes if Ruppy hasn't grabbed it already. See, Shadow says, thanks for reminding me. My codes are on a PC I don't use anymore. You see, you gotta think about it. There are ways to look at security, and it depends on your sort of like attack vector or your threat model, etc. Is what would happen tomorrow if your house set fire? And think about that both from a personal possessions, so maybe there's, you know, a photo album somewhere, something sentimental that you would need, but also from your digital identity as well. Your house sets on fire, you can't access any of the devices that you're on, maybe your phone even gets lost because, you know, the house set fire and you just had to run. How difficult would it be for you to do very important things, access your finances, let people know you're okay, organize insurance claims? Think about that and then adjust your life if those answers aren't easy. Moving forward to getting like halfway through office hours, I just lose the ability to speak. I'm just going to like roll around on the floor drooling in a second. Digin Byte says, any plans to make Neos more user accessible? I found new installs seem to force the tutorial to escape. That's actually a sort of our plan to make it more accessible, which is like a sort of weird problem that we have. We are finding just generally that it's very difficult to tutor people who have different expectations of what a tutorial should be. So some users come in and they don't know VR. So they need to be shown their controllers and like, this is a button, this is how you push the button, this is what the button does. Some people come in and they're rushing because they're trying to meet up with their friends. They're like, I don't care about this tutorial. I don't want to read it because I'm rushing to meet up with my friend and chill out and hang out. And some people come in and they're experts and they're like, I know everything and I don't want to be taught. I know everything. I know that you're telling me that I don't, but I know everything, get out my way. And so we're trying to find a way that sort of like level sets that. And the only thing that we found so far that to do that is to actually force you to go through the tutorial. Because those who know what they're doing can just spam through it. Those who don't know what they're doing will usually follow the tutorial. And those that are really, really annoyed that you're forced through the tutorial will add skip intro tutorial as a command line argument to the shortcut they use to run the game. I'm one of those guys. So I never see the tutorial. Like, it's an interesting problem. We're trying to solve it. We've got we want to do more MTC updates to make that experience better. It is what we've got, though. I don't think it's the problem that's making Neos not user accessible. I think that problem actually occurs when happens is when you go past that tutorial. We then don't follow up with additional tutorials or additional information or additional documentation inside the game. Like, all of it's outside, or you have to ask someone, which is effectively outside. Where are we? Moving forwards. If you lose your backup code, you need to prove your identity by beating Prime in a chess match. That'd actually be quite easy. I'm not that good at chess. Random side note here. I was exploring VR chat worlds many years ago, and a world came up in the world sort of browser called Daddy's Chess Dungeon. And I'm like, what is this? This sounds like risky. This sounds like, you know, maybe I need to be at a private session to go into this world. No, it was literally just like a dark room with a chessboard in it, made by a guy called Daddy. So, like, it sounded rude, but it wasn't at all. It was just a chessboard in a dark room. That was funny. The associations we have of various words and concepts lead you down a different path. Stifle, linked to the useful tagging components. Great. Digim says, how about a menu dialog option for skip tutorial basics in advance? We have discussed having a skip tutorial button. The problem is that people that need the tutorial would push it. People don't want to learn sometimes, and sometimes you have to sort of like guide them and force them to learn. It is a problem. I do agree that it could be better, and the content team are looking at that and trying to make that better as they go. Any feedback that you have would be great. I think there's some issues for it. I also think there was an issue where we discussed the skip button, and that's where you can read the historical conversation about why that doesn't exist. if you struggle with the tutorial at a later point and you're frustrated by it, if the cage is up at the MTC, just spam the next button. It'll go down. You don't have to do anything on the screen. But you see, that's a problem now, because now I'm going to tell you that, and you're going to tell other people, and then no one's going to read the tutorial, and then no one learns. So you see, it's like a chicken and egg problem. It's like, we want people to learn, but people don't like the way that we're teaching them, so they're going to skip it, so they can't learn, so we need to improve it, but we don't know how to improve it without forcing them to learn. It's difficult. Jack says, looking forward to exploring the MMC entries, by the way. Yep, I am. Immediate thing I have to do once the MMC entry closes is go test the voting system, though, because that's my responsibility. The Bumble says, is there a tutorial on gesture shortcuts? I think there's something somewhere that does them. I'm not sure if it's in the MTC, but there certainly is something. Why is my phone like, hello, phone? The screen just turned on and was like, hello. And I'm like, is that a call? That usually means a call, but it wasn't a call. Very confused. Yeah, if you go back to the MTC, I think part of the problem is actually us calling it MTC. Like, it's meant to be the Metaverse Training Center, but if it was literally called, like, tutorial, click here, or if maybe you put, like, a neon sign around it, like, tutorials with, like, a big arrow, like, it might be easier to find it. Something I think we need to do a lot, and I think that will actually help a lot, but we need to find out where we do it, is, you know, when you change worlds in VRChat, they display little announcements to you whilst it's loading. Like, the world is loading, and it says, remember, these things are against the rules. You can report rules with the report button, or it says, like, you know, here's how to do this thing. And you might not read them because you've seen them so much, or maybe you're an expert, but the information's still there, and you still process them a little bit. So it still reinforces that in your head. And it gives them an opportunity to sort of, you know, do updates and announcements there. Like, maybe their rules change, they could put an announcement there. So we certainly need something like that somewhere. I don't know where. I like the fact that you can load into a world and, you know, have a loading screen, but we need somewhere to put, like, little messages like that, though. Froppy says, had the loading tips been narrated by Audiobook Prime? It is a common thing as well. I seem to remember, like, the first game I remembered seeing it on was, like, Fallout 3 or something. I'm not sure if that's the first game that actually did it. It's the first one I remember. Like, I'd got an Xbox, I put in Fallout 3, and I'd loaded it, and it was like, I don't know, because I don't remember much of Fallout, but, like, rockets are good at exploding things would be, like, a loading screen tip. And you're like, got it! Understood. Understand that rockets are good at exploding things. Grey Foxen asks, can I help you try and break the voting system? Nope. We've tested it sufficiently to know that it is okay. It is not foolproof, so I have to watch it like a hawk, and I also have like a 10-step validation process that happens once voting closes to validate each vote. So it's fun. There's a huge problem with electronic voting. It's basically just like fraught with error. You can find information about that on a Tom Scott video, which I've got linked somewhere. So I have to be really careful and take a look at it. I also use pivot tables. Does anyone know what a pivot table is? Like, I take the output, which is a CSV, and then I put it into like a, oh, not that one. That's the wrong video, but it's okay. That's a good video for the voting system. Here's the right video. There we go. But yeah, I take the output as a CSV, convert it to Excel, and then I use a pivot table. Pivot tables are amazing. All right, we are at time. So if anyone's typing any questions, go for it. Take a look. Make sure I'm not missing any additional questions. If anyone's typing a question, go for it. But we'll cut off questions that people are typing very soon. So get those in. We'll keep that in mind. Jackal says that they if they need a voice for stuff like loading screens, I'll do it for free. Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. It's an interesting like take, because I was looking at like the locale files, and we need to like go back through anyone that's contributed to the locale and get them to sign some paperwork at some point. It's going to be interesting. It's basically like we don't technically own the contributions. Like, we don't have a license to their contributions, so it's a bit weird. We need to go back and do that. Contributor license agreement or something like that is usually what we need. We need to go back and do that, but that only matters once we start putting from locale again, so I'll sort it out eventually. I remember like every year someone ends up managing to break one of the booths. Like, the way it works is we've got like 10 booths, like 5 on the left and 5 on the right, and I always have to put like red tape, like caution tape or like closed tape over one of the booths, because someone always ends up managing to break one of them. And then what I do is I look for, oh, look, there's no one voting right now. I can quickly restart the world, and that will kick one of the broken voting booths back into there. I do have like the idle restart on, but, you know, sometimes I just want to like make it work again so that I can figure it out in a way that makes it make sense. With that, I think we're at the end. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to direct message me, drop it in the questions and help channel, send me carrier pigeons, whatever you want to do, smoke signals, I don't know, lasers, Morse code, whatever you want to do. I'm happy to help you out. Good luck with your MC entries. Do remember to submit the world early. I'm going to tell you again, submit the world early. You don't need to wait till the world is finished before you put it on that submission plate. And for the last day of the MMC, you shouldn't be making edits, you should be testing. What happens for desktop users? What happens for more than one user? Can this be broken? What happens for users that maybe are colorblind? What happens for users who are deaf? What happens for users who are blind? Well, blind's like a strange one. Partially sighted would be a better term. Visually impaired, whatever phrasing you want to use there. And I will speak to you again soon.